This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well Well Well, brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Here on Well Well Well, we delve into the issues impacting and surrounding the health and well-being of our gender, sex and sexuality diverse communities. Coming to you from Thorn Harbour Health's headquarters on Wurundjeri Country, I'm your host Jack Manjun, and joined this week in studio by Rachel Cook. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, it's been a while since we've done a show together.
It's been a while. There have been, I think it's fair to say, a few things going on at Thorn Harbour Health.
A few things going on. You've been away as well.
That as well. One trip to Japan in a year wasn't enough for me. I had to go back a second time. That's something else, though. We've got a really full show this week. Who have we got coming up?
Well, we'll be chatting with Dr. Ruth McNair, who many listeners will be familiar with. Ruth is from the University of Melbourne, and we'll be speaking with Ruth about the Australian Lesbian Medical Association Conference, which is coming up next week, talking a bit about its history and this year's theme, which is authenticity, keeping it real.
That's all coming up this episode on Well Well Well.
You're getting Well 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 with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
We're now speaking with Dr. Ruth McNair. Ruth is an honorary associate professor at the Department of General Practice, University of Melbourne, and a general practitioner at one of Inner Melbourne's general practices. She has clinical and research interests in lesbian and bisexual women's mental health, sexual health, same-sex parenting, trans and gender diverse affirmation, and LGBT healthcare and homelessness. And she also became a member of the Order of Australia on the Queen's Birthday Honours in 2019 for significant service to medicine and as an advocate for the LGBTI community. Thanks for joining us, Ruth.
Thanks, no worries.
Now, we're talking today about the ALMA conference, which is the Australian Lesbian Medical Association conference, but also it is for LBQ women and people who identify as non-binary. Can you tell us a bit about the history of ALMA and what is it and why did it form?
Yeah, well, we started in about 1999 when Carol Booth, who's a GP in New South Wales, decided that she wanted to meet other lesbian doctors. So she had a conference, like you do because you're a doctor. We got together in New South Wales, about 20 people there with partners, some partners. It was just a real hoot. You know, we had a great time talking to each other. No holds were barred. Like, we just kept talking the whole weekend. And it was clear to us that lesbian doctors at that point, we were only lesbian, were in desperate need of finding each other and comparing notes and supporting each other, because medicine is not a very user-friendly specialty or profession for us. So we formed the organisation at that meeting, and it's grown ever since. I mean, we've had annual conferences ever since then, so we're up to about 24 now, and it just is a really important event for us. Yeah.
You spoke a little bit there, Ruth, about, I suppose, the desire to kind of meet up with other, at that time, lesbian doctors. I suppose around that knowledge sharing, why was there such a need for an organisation like this?
Well, I think most of us talked about the fact that we didn't feel comfortable in medicine. It was very patriarchal, very heterosexual, very masculine driven profession. And I mean, women generally often don't feel that comfortable, but, you know, as lesbians, and there were a few bi women at that first conference too, you know, we just felt like we didn't fit. Many people had had experiences of discrimination in medicine. Trying to get up the career path became difficult as people came out. So, you know, that was a really shared experience with everyone. And, you know, even now, when loads of medical students come to our conferences now and they all talk about the same thing, even 23 years later, it still feels really difficult to be out in the profession. And so we sort of do a lot of supporting and sharing of that and working out how we can safely exist in medicine and also be ourselves.
Obviously, you talked about how the conference was how it all started and the conferences are still going. How often do the conferences happen?
Once a year. Through COVID, we did it online, but now we're thankfully back in person. And we just move around Australia. We've had them in New Zealand as well now. We do have a New Zealand membership too. So we just try to find a really nurturing space for ourselves, somewhere that's private and comfortable, got a nice, usually a nice view or something enjoyable to do. So, you know, it's designed as a bit of a sharing, caring experience, as well as now we have a pretty big program of scientific issues as well. So it's a nice combination, actually.
How many people come along these days?
Well, this year in Melbourne, we've got about 90 people coming. That's going to be our biggest ever.
Mm-hmm.
The membership list is about 200 plus people, which varies. You know, this year we've got lots more medical students who've come across us because we've got a fantastic med student, Daphne, who's been spruiking all over Australia and New Zealand. So, you know, I think this is very good to see that we're a growing organisation and still needed.
Can you tell us a little bit about the theme for the conference this year, Ruth? I believe it's authenticity, keeping it real.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, every year we have this inevitably some discussion around whether we can be both ourselves, our diverse sexual and gender selves, and doctors. And a lot of people, as I said, the students, but also graduated doctors still have an issue with how to do this. Some people aren't out in their profession. Others are very out, like me. you know, I'm a professional lesbian, basically. So I get paid to be a lesbian, you know, in my clinic, and it sort of helps a lot because I can just be myself. And so we have discussions about this all the time. So we thought, okay, let's do a whole theme on this. We're doing sessions on being non-binary. We've got a big panel of non-binary doctors and med students who are talking about their experience. Another one on gender diversity, just generally. Another on neurodiversity. So, you know, we're trying to look at all those intersecting identities that we bring with us and how we can blend that with being medical and still feel like we're comfortable in our own skin, but, you know, seeing patients without feeling compromised, basically.
And you've talked about just, you know, the conference has also shifted to become more of an inclusive content. But what else can we expect at the conference this year?
Yeah, look, we've got a big program. As you know, Rachel, you're coming on for the drug and alcohol session, which will be fun. That's a bit of research and a bit of practice and a bit of, you know, what can we do better in alcohol and drug healthcare. There's a whole session looking at trans issues, hot topic, of course, but we've got Tram Nguyen coming from the RCH, the Children's Hospital Gender Clinic, talking about what's new in gender care for young people. We've got a whole session on resilience and mental health on the Sunday, looking at suicidality, which is really important. Anna's coming from Switchboard to talk about their work on postvention suicide prevention, which is amazing. Oh, look, so many topics, I can hardly think of them all. You know, it'll be fun to sort of delve deeply into some of these areas. And I think the doctors who come, you know, most of them don't work in LGBT healthcare, but they work in mainstream settings where there's really so little education around LGBTIQ health. And so, you know, they often come with this really urgent need to understand what are the specific issues for LGBTIQ people, how can they make a difference in their own workplace. So, you know, that's some of what we talk about these days. Just, you know, what's the latest research? What should we be doing differently around inclusive practice? That's a fun program.
I suppose, what are some of the trends you've seen at the conference over the years? What areas and issues have potentially emerged more recently?
Well, I mean, like in the LGBTIQ community more broadly, we're seeing a lot more diversity. So, you know, I remember the second or third conference, we had a big discussion about bisexuality and whether ALMA should be inclusive of bisexual women. I think, oh my God, like 20 years later, how could we have even thought that was a good thing to talk about? Like, it's a no-brainer. And then more recently, issues of gender diversity. And, you know, this year having a big panel on non-binary issues is the first. We haven't really discussed non-binary gender identity at all. And yet increasing numbers of our membership are non-binary and using they, them pronouns and being fairly out in their profession as well. So I'm very happy to see that development with ALMA. You know, obviously we have to grow with the times and diversify as needed. You know, there's a lot more women of colour in the group now. We've got a big session on women of colour and how that intersects with sexuality, gender and medicine. So, you know, I think as we grapple with the new and emerging identities in our community, we need to be sure we're being as open and inclusive as we can for our membership as well.
It's interesting, isn't that point you made that 20 years ago discussing whether you should be inclusive of bisexual women and looking back on that now in horror, you know, as you know, as many of us do with conversations that were happening then. But what were some of the topics that were central points of discussion 20 years ago that we're actually still talking about?
Well, parenting's one. I remember doing several sessions on parenting, you know, 20, 15 years ago when I was doing a lot of research in the area. And at that point it was basically lesbian parenting, whereas now we've got a whole session on trans parenting. So, you know, the topic is the same, but the subgroup is diversifying. And, again, I think that's really exciting, you know, cutting-edge issue around how do you make the healthcare system much more inclusive for trans and non-binary people who want to have pregnancies, who want to parent, who want to do it differently. I mean, some of the other issues, mental health come up repeatedly over the years as a really hot topic around, you know, how do we support our own mental health, but also how do we improve mental health care for LGBTIQ people. And, you know, that isn't going away, sadly. We still see huge numbers of people who have mental health issues, suicidality and so on. And we really need to be much more responsive about and understand it better.
And what about the topics that have become perhaps less significant than they were 20 years ago?
I can't think of anything that was, you know, we keep revisiting the same things, and in some ways I'm feeling frustrated by that, because, you know, even lesbian parenting, I mean, if we revisit that now, we still have the same issues around difficulty for the non-birth parent to be engaged and involved in the healthcare system. You know, they're often excluded. And I'm thinking, why hasn't this improved after all of our discussion and after trying to train people up? It's just this whole issue of the lack of focus still, even now, in healthcare, no matter what level you're looking at, whether it's student level up through vocational training and so on. So we've got a lot to do. And I think this is another area that ALMA has often done some work in around medical education. You know, the students are always really up for it, trying to go back to their medical schools and demand more content around LGBTIQ. And we've worked with AMSA, the Australian Medical Student Association, over the years. You know, we submitted a application or a recommendations to the Australian Medical Council when they were looking at their new guidelines for what should be in medical courses around it should be much more inclusive of LGBTIQ, and that has now just been released this year, and there is a little bit more. I'm not wrapped with it, but, you know, it's getting there. So I'm afraid to say all the things we talk about are still needing discussion.
Here on Well, 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 you're with Jack and Rachel. We're speaking with Dr. Ruth McNair from the University of Melbourne, speaking about the ALMA conference. Stick around, we've got more coming up in just a moment.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
We're speaking with Dr. Ruth McNair about the ALMA conference, which is coming up next week. Ruth, can you tell us what you will be presenting on at the conference?
One of my favourite topics, which is STIs, between women affected women and non-binary people. So I'm just going to do an update on what's new and different, what's out there, what are we doing for safe sex messaging, you know, things around bacterial vaginosis and papillomavirus, so that'll be fun. Also presenting with Marion Saville, who chairs the National Cervical Screening Panel. And you're probably all aware that it is now okay for all people with a cervix to do a self-test for their cervical screen. And we're encouraging that. So we're presenting that information to the conference. Everyone will get a self-screening kit in their conference bag. You know, why not? Go off and do their self-screen at lunchtime. And we're, you know, excited to get that out there because I think from whenever it was, July last year, I think, July this year, we've been able to do this and it's been a revolution. Just so much easier and more comfortable for, you know, a lot of my transmasculine patients who love doing their self-screen. They don't have to have a sexual exam. Some of my older lesbian patients too, you know, really suits a lot of people. So that'll be a good one.
I guess besides that self-screening test, what do you hope people take away from the conference and can anyone attend?
No, everyone can't attend. It's specifically for lesbian, bi and non-binary doctors and medical students who are members of ALMA and their partners. So it's a very closed conference. We do that deliberately to keep it safe, to allow these discussions that are so critical for our personal and professional development. So, yeah, I mean, if people are out there and they're in the medical profession, haven't heard of us and want to join up and come to the conference, you're very welcome. We have a large venue. We're expanding as we speak. But, yeah, if you happen not to be in the medical profession, sorry, you can't come.
What I wanted to also talk to you about, Ruth, because we have you on this show and, you know, and obviously you and I have had many conversations around LGBTIQ women's health, and we always talk in, I guess, around the issues and facts and figures and campaigns and research. But I wanted to actually talk to you about some, I guess, personally for you, what was it that drew you to medicine?
Look, it was that classic thing when you're 16, you just wanted to help people. I think I'd watched too many missionary films. I imagined myself out there in the field, you know, battling away with the mosquitoes and the syringes. And anyway, yeah, I did my medical elective in Papua New Guinea and I haven't done any international medicine since. although I did work in Central Australia for a while. So, you know, it worked. But, yeah, I just wanted to – I felt like I wanted to use my brain but also to help I guess, people's lives individually. And then when I got into medicine, I realised, well, especially when I came out the other end, actually, I was practising as a GP and I realised we can have a lot more influence around public health and policy and, I guess, getting the system right. So, yeah, since I've graduated, I've worked more and more in that area as well, which has been really rewarding, actually.
Is there a specific area of medicine, I suppose, that you're particularly passionate about?
Yeah, LBQ women's health. Yeah, look, anything to do with LGBTIQ, actually. I mean, if you look at my research career, I've gone all over the place because there's just so many things you can do. I mean, homelessness, more recently, refugees and asylum seekers. Parenting obviously was a big one for me for many years. So it's just, yeah, as Rachel and I both know, there's so much you can do. And I sort of delve into things for a while and get really in depth and then publish a bit and move to the next thing that hasn't been done yet. So that's such a privilege to be able to do that in this community. Yeah.
And have you seen attitudes towards LGBTIQ women's health change over your career? You know, is there a growing acceptance that this cohort faces specific health challenges?
Yeah, there is. And I think now I'm on this 10-year action plan development for the federal government, and that's the first time federal government have actually done something global around LGBTIQ health. And we're seeing hopefully that the census will include real questions that cover our whole population. We're very hopeful about that in the next census. So I think we're getting movement around understanding that this subgroup of the Australian population needs additional attention to improve our health inequalities, to improve the health promotion that we do. You know, groups like Thorn Harbour and ACON and the smaller LGBTIQ specific groups in each state and territory have made a difference because, you know, they've worked hard over the years to try and encourage mainstream services to be inclusive and more and more trainings out there. So, yeah, I think we're seeing a shift. It's been a slow, hard slog, but it's been worth it because I think we're getting some traction in policy and in practice as well. So, hooray.
You kind of alluded a little bit to better understanding of, I guess, our LGBTIQ communities across Australia. What do you think are some of the key areas of LGBTIQ health we should be focusing on, I suppose, in the near future?
I think neurodiversity is a huge topic for understanding and not pathologizing, but really understanding how that intersects with LGBTIQ people, which it very much does, and how we can support neurodiverse people in the healthcare system much better. I mean, obviously, I've been very involved with refugees and asylum seekers in the last few years, and their health and well-being needs are not being met at all, I would say, at the moment, apart from tiny pockets of basically LGBTIQ-led support. And that's something that needs to step up. The refugee services need to improve. The intake system in terms of immigration needs to improve. So I think that's a really vital group of people, and we're seeing actually now more LGBTIQ refugees coming into Australia on humanitarian visas, thank goodness at last, as the federal government have started to realise this specific vulnerable subgroup that needs to be supported.
If there are any, I suppose, practitioners that would be interested in attending the ALMA conference, lesbian, bisexual women, non-binary folk, where can they find out more, Ruth?
Just go to our website, so it's alma.org.au, and you can sign up there as a member, and then you get a phone call from our membership secretary just to check in and make sure you're legit, and, you know, and then she takes it to the board, and it all happens really quickly. So within a couple of days, you remember, and then you can sign up for the conference. So, yes, there's still time if you'd like to. Maybe we'll hit 100. That'd be amazing.
Exciting. Dr. Ruth McNair from the University of Melbourne, thank you so much for joining us this week on Well, Well, Well.
A pleasure. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Rachel.
You're getting Well, Well, Well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
That's all for the show this week. Thank you so much to our guests for joining us. Speaking of important research, the Australian Research Centre for Sex, Health and Society, or ARCHES, they have a seminar coming up on August 16th about trans healthcare and rights in Indonesia. This seminar will be presented by Dr. Ben Hegarty and Dr. Allegra Walter as part of a series by ARCHES about relevant issues in sexuality and gender. More information can be found on the La Trobe University events page, or you can check out ARCHES, ARCSHS, on social media. In addition, if you're keen on registering for the Women's Health Conference, you can keep an eye out for registrations opening soon at the website. I believe it is lbq.org.au. You can check out registrations opening soon there. If you've missed part of this episode or want to catch up on other episodes, you can check out the podcast at joy.org.au/well. If you have any suggestions for topics or questions for us, you can send them to well@joy.org.au as well. But that's all for the show this week. Thank you so much for joining me, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. It's been great doing this show with you again.
Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ plus health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.